Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Church, raising leaders, shaping vision, and influencing society through Christ.
Welcome, my friends, once again to the Living Word. I'm Pastor Mensah Otabele. It's a joy and a privilege to have this encounter with you. I believe that God uses this opportunity to minister to you and to speak to you and to provide some inspiration and guidance for your life. And I trust that what you hear does not just come into your ears and move out of your life, but it stays within your life and becomes part of the knowledge base and also part of the foundation of your life.
Now, today's message,
I'm going to continue my teaching on Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Turn with me in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 14 to 17. Let's hear God's Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now, I want us to go back to the verse 14 so I can do some explanation there. It says, "And the Word became flesh." Now, I suppose you know who the Word is. The Word there refers to Jesus. The verse 1 of John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him," and all, and on and on. It talks about the Word. In verse 12, it says, "As many as receive the Word, He gives them power to become the sons of God." In verse 14, it talks about the Word becoming flesh. And that Word is not an information, it's a person. And that person is Jesus. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Where did the Word dwell? Where did He dwell? Among us. And when the Word dwelled amongst us, or dwelt among us, we beheld His glory. Whose glory? The Word's glory. We beheld the glory of the Word, and the Word is Jesus. We beheld, or we saw, the glory of Jesus. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. The first thing I want you to note is that Christ Jesus is full of grace and truth. We beheld His glory. We saw His glory, full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Full of it. We saw His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, when we see the glory of Jesus, what is the Bible talking about? It's talking about who He is, His manifestation. Jesus healed the sick, He raised the dead, He fed people with very little, He walked on water, He calmed the storms, and He did so many miracles. All those things were the manifestation of His glory. So when you saw Jesus doing those miracles and saying those profound things, it was the glory of Christ. It was His glory. And the scripture here says that we saw His glory, and the glory we saw was that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what does that mean? It means that the glory that Jesus manifested was manifested because of the grace and truth that was in him. And because grace and truth was in him, he manifested the glory of God. Then it says, verse 16, and of his fullness we have received. Out of Christ's fullness of grace, we receive grace. Because he is full of grace, we receive his grace. Of his fullness, we have received. He is full of grace. And of his fullness, we have received. I want to just use a little illustration to help you to understand. Now, let's take it that this glass is Jesus. Now, this glass is not Jesus, but we are just assuming. Now, let's take it that glass is Jesus. This glass is full of water, but let's take it that this glass is grace and truth. Can you imagine that? So this is Jesus, the glass, and of his fullness, he is full of grace and truth. Now, if grace and truth is full in Christ, and you keep pouring grace and truth, or you keep pouring more water into this glass, what is going to happen? It will overflow. And overflow comes out of fullness. You can't overflow when you are half full. You can't overflow when you are just full. You have to only overflow when you have totally filled all the space and there is no space again. But there is abundance coming out. Now, when this water is poured into this glass and it gets full and begins to overflow, it will flow under. Granting you have another glass, and you catch the water that is coming out from this, under this glass, you would say that of the fullness of this water, you have received. Because this glass is so full of water, some has touched on you. But the good thing is, the same water in this is the same water you are also receiving. Now the Bible says that Jesus was full of grace, and of his fullness we have received. Out of the overflow of his fullness of grace, some came to us. We received the same grace that was in him. Then it says that the grace we receive is grace for grace. Grace, what does it mean, grace for grace? It simply means grace in abundance. The grace we receive in Christ is grace in abundance. Although we receive grace, he didn't just give us leftover grace. He gave us abundance of grace. Our cup also got full with the water he was serving out. Our lives also became full of his grace. So grace is in Christ. He is full of it. Out of the fullness we have received. And what we have received is also in abundance. Of his fullness we have received grace for grace. When Jesus Christ was on earth, he manifested a special glory. He manifested a special glory. Why do we say he manifested a special glory? Because the Bible says we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He had a special glory, the glory that belonged to the only begotten of the Father. How many begotten of the Father? How many? Only means one. Okay. Now, if you have something one that is one, do you know that's unique? Because that's the only one available. Of his fullness, or Jesus Christ, was the only begotten of the Father. And because he was the only one, he had a glory that nobody had. Nobody had that glory. Because he was the only begotten of the Father. And he was the only one who had that glory. He was full of grace, and that grace manifested into glory. And that glory was unique to him. Jesus Christ carried a unique glory in his life. He went about doing good and manifesting that glory. But in our teaching, we are going to learn that that glory, which was unique to only Jesus, was transferred to you and I. And we're going to find out very soon from the scriptures. Because God poured His grace also into our lives. And if God pours the same grace that is in Christ into our lives, then we're also going to be able to manifest the same glory, because the same grace has come into our lives. God's grace is God's favor, His special favor, His unmerited favor. Favor that you don't deserve. Grace means that God gives you something not based on what you have done, but based on what He wants to do. That is grace. There are benefits of grace we are going to look at this morning, and I trust that God is going to speak to you in a very special way as we look at the benefits of grace. The first benefit of grace is salvation. Salvation. That's the first benefit of grace. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation." Have you seen that? The grace of God does what? It brings salvation. Salvation is a benefit of the grace of God. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, including women. Women, don't get offended. You're also in here. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That means in this time. Verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We learn from this verse is that salvation is available to all by the grace of God. Everybody has access to salvation. Everybody can be saved. Everybody can have new life. That God's salvation is available to everybody, and it's available by grace. By God's grace, we have salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is based on grace. And grace is not of works. It's a gift. God does not give us grace based on what we have done. He gives us grace based on who He is. So salvation is made available to all. Under the law, salvation was only to the Jews. But by grace, salvation is available to all. Wherever you are, salvation is available to you. And it's the grace of God that makes it so. Secondly, salvation makes us live righteously. Salvation makes us live righteously. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. When we receive God's salvation, we receive the ability to live a righteous life. And remember, salvation is by grace. Our righteous life is not based on our efforts. You know, when we become Christians, sometimes we become a bit judgmental when people don't live the Christian life well. You know, and sometimes some people become so judgmental when they see people do wrong. But do you know that you are who you are simply by the grace of God? If it wasn't by the grace of God, you probably would be in prison right now. If you see somebody who's a prostitute, you are just like them. You are just like a drunkard. The only difference is the grace of God. That is what delivers us from the power of Satan. It's not based on our own willpower or self-will or good training or the home we came from. It's just the grace of God. I've seen people who came from good families who became drunkards. Go to the prison cells right now. You see armed robbers in prison, and you see ministers of state also in prison. That means you could also go there. You go to the prison and see people, just thank God you are not there. It's all the grace of God. If we are not conscious of the grace of God, we condemn people. When somebody sins, we condemn him and say, look at him, look at the life he's lived. How can a Christian live like that? You don't understand the grace of God. The Bible says, take heed, you who think you stand, lest you fall. I remember years ago, in about 1987, a major scandal rocked Christendom from America. A gentleman called Jim Baker got into serious, serious trouble. And Jim Baker had one of the biggest ministries in America, big TV ministry and everything. And then he got into all kinds of troubles. And some preachers got on Jim Baker and started lambasting him on TV. And there was one particular preacher who got on Jim Baker's case. And I heard him many times on television speaking against Jim Baker and saying, how can a man who calls himself a man of God live like that? How can he do this? And he's a cancer in the body of Christ. He needs to be cut out. We need a surgical operation. This guy was preaching so hard against Jim Baker. Then a few months later, this guy who was preaching so hard against Jim Baker was seen with a prostitute. When he was caught the first time, he cried and says, I repent. Then he was caught the second time. When you don't understand the grace of God, you condemn others. But be careful, you who think you stand, lest you fall. We are all human. We are all subject to the same weaknesses like everybody. We can all do wrong. We can all steal. We can all be corrupt. But for the grace of God. It is when we trust God and His grace that He helps us to live righteously. Don't be a self-righteous, holier-than-thou Christian who goes about condemning everybody and pointing everybody's sins to them, because we are only held by God's grace. God's grace. God's grace is what makes us live righteously. Thirdly, salvation gives us a blessed hope for the future. And that is also based on the grace of God. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to make it to heaven. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But you and I know that not everybody will go there. We go to heaven by grace. It's grace that gives us salvation, and it's through God's grace of salvation that we receive a blessed hope for the future. When I was growing up in my early Christian life, somewhere in the early 70s, the number one topic in those days, you weren't to church or anywhere, crusades. The number one topic was the rapture. That Jesus was coming again and the trumpet would sound and all of us would go out in the air. And, they taught the rapture so hard. Be careful, Jesus may come tonight. Where will you be if Jesus comes? And they preached it, and it terrified me. Because, I received Christ about 40 times. And every time I go for a crusade, I go to the altar call, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner, save my... And then I go back and I go and sin. The next crusade, I go for a dear Lord Jesus. Then they keep preaching this rapture. These stories, you don't know whether they're true or concocted. But they say this baby was born. And when he was born, his hands were clasped together. And when they forced open his hand, it was written in the palm, on his palm, or in his palm, Jesus is coming soon. Wow, Jesus is coming soon. Lord, don't come now. Wait, let me get myself ready. And, I don't know whether it was out of fear or conviction, but I had a dream during those times. And the dream was so real, I still remember it today. And I remember that, I was with some of my friends and Jesus came. And he appeared in the skies and the trumpet sounded, papa, and people were going up in the rapture. And I was stuck here on the earth. I couldn't go. I jumped again. I couldn't go. Then my eyes opened. That was one of the most relieving moments of my life, when I realized it was a dream. Ha ha! It was a dream. But my friends, going to heaven is not based on how high you jump. It's all by the grace of God. For by grace are ye saved. It's not based on your effort. It's just based on the grace of God. If I wanted to make it to the rapture, it was not based on how hard I tried, but how much God loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might...
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.